Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, Knights defeat the Storm 14-12. Look, with the Knights, just good to get the W. Like, however you can get it, you just get it. I hate to be a Debbie Downer, though. It wasn't pretty. It was not pretty. And it was against a Storm side that was missing, you know, quite a few players. So I don't like to excuse teams. So, for example, you could sit there in the Storm and you could go, I was missing this player, this player, this player. But then you actually watch the game and it's like, that wasn't the reason why he's lost. He's lost because you made silly errors, yeah. You know. So, but from the Knights' perspective, they are missing those players. You should, if you're a top four threat or a top six threat, you should be really putting the Storm side away. So I'd be remiss if I didn't say, still questions around the Knights for me. It wasn't this like glorious victory over the Storm that, you know, you can sit there and go, oh, they're back. But at the same time, a win's a win, and sometimes that's all you need to just get some momentum heading into the season.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. It wasn't pretty at all. They are obviously missing a few troops, but nowhere near as much as the Melbourne Storm are missing guys. Made some interesting choices with their rotation and whatnot. We spoke about a few weeks ago about Tyson Frizzell moving into the middle. I think even more so I'd be leaning towards doing it. Now, they moved Dylan Lucas. He played on the right edge for the back end of the game. He's obviously coming back from a HIA. There's potential there with the Knights, but yeah, they're just good to get a win, but they're nowhere near what they were last year still. Mm. I'll tell you what, like, he scored two tries last week, but geez, he's making a lot of errors at the moment. Adam Elliott.
Yeah.
A little bit out of sorts at the moment. Not quite sure what it is.
Yeah, and he was really good last week, but you're right. Like in round one, I think he made quite a few errors, and obviously a couple. How many did he make on the? I definitely remember at least one cold drop ball, and they just can't afford that. Like yeah. a team that is based around steeliness and grittiness, which is what Adam Elliott is. He's tough as anything, goes all day. But I just want to get it up here.
I think three errors.
Yeah, two errors.
Yep.
Have you got three?
Three. Yep.
Okay. NRL says two. But yeah, three errors. Look.
Sorry, it says two errors and one handling error. I don't know if counts as both.
I think they're the same.
Right.
I think one of those two errors is
a handling error. Oh, okay. Right. Look, the positive is this, is they just got the win. And there were periods of grittiness. There was a really good play from Rizal. So game was on the line. The Storm got momentum back and it looked like, uh-oh, Storm are going to come over the top here. Rizal... crazy, really, really good try-saving tackle where he tracked back. Someone threw an inside ball. It was a try for all money. Frizzell's there. Then either a play later or two plays later, he makes another try-saving tackle. And that was basically the match winner right there. Huge effort from Frizzell to track back. It's the 70th minute or the 75th minute. The game's on the line. Could have very easily said, you know what? That's not my job. That's a center. That's a seven. That's a six or whatever. He said, no. I'm one of the big game players here. Makes huge tackles, and that literally was the difference in the end. And I just, Frizzell, for a guy that, you know, I feel like maybe 3 years ago you were sitting there going, Is he maybe going to pull him up here or head to Super League or whatever? Hasn't he just the last 2 years been outstanding?
Yeah, it's been a real resurgence in his career, hasn't it? And I still like just the leg speed he has is just insane. It's like he's just never got slower. Like I remember, like I think he made his debut for the Sharks years ago. He played a few games for the Sharks at the start of his career, and like he looks just as quick then. Yeah. As he does now. It's wild.
Yeah, you'd think a guy like that in the forwards, as they get older, their fast twitch would slow down a little bit and they'd almost be forced to move into the middle because they're a little bit older. Hasn't been the case.
He's done the opposite. Oh, well, not the opposite, but he's just maintained the entire way through. And yeah, I think that they could really do with using him through the middle.
Especially with Kai Pierce-Paul playing so well and maybe Dylan Lucas gets more of an opportunity on the edge.
Well, I think it'd be interesting if you trialled Kai Pierce-Paul on the right-hand side. He's a right-hand carrier of the football there. And you watch all of his highlights over there in England was down the right edge. And the amount of times he just got that arm free was like Joey Manu-like. Whereas if you have a look at the way they're using him at the moment on the left edge, like he's doing really well. But I just wonder if there's more opportunity there because you see whenever he gets the ball, you have KP going around the back outside of him. He then hits in that line. And in order to get his hand free, he's got to go around the body of defenders. He's quite often got his arm free.
Yeah.
But KP and Bradman Best are always on that side of him. I just wonder if maybe – because I think Dylan Lucas can play on both sides without any worries. I just wonder if maybe it is something they could look at.
Hammy, what do you think of the Knights?
KPP, very good. You touched on it. Again, not a pretty performance, but hey – They ground out a win, which was good. Interested to know your thoughts on that Cogger Gamble as the halves pairing at the moment.
If I'm being honest, I didn't see much of a difference.
Yeah.
And if anything, Cogger started the game with a kick out in the full, which didn't help. I guess you just got to wait and see with if they can build that combination. I didn't really see much of a difference, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, Jacko Hastings couldn't have done much more. Newcastle scored 50. He had 2 line break assists and 5 try assists in reserve grade. And I actually thought it should have been 6 try assists when I watched it personally. So, Jacko's...
There's only one bloke...
Imagine if he showed up to training this week. Fuck.
There's only one bloke in rugby league that watches enough rugby league to have a crack at the New South Wales Cups decision, statisticians.
Put him on notice.
Yeah.
Be better, New South Wales Cups decisions. Yeah. Come on. 6 try assists. Holy shit. I thought he wasn't playing for New South Wales Cup. Didn't he say fuck
New South Wales Cup? Imagine if he trains with them this week, what he'll do.
I heard he said fuck New South Wales Cup and every team in it.
What a fucking media beat up that was. Unbelievable.
Did you hear that, Hammy?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Must have happened then.
Yeah, for sure. Man, I've already spoken about this, but where's the accountability?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, it wasn't...
Face the Music, Journo's edition.
Face the Music, baby.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just, oh, he's been dropped, he's unhappy about it. It was he refused to turn up to a New South Wales Cup training. But then the next thing was, is Hastings a shit bloke? He just got dropped. And all of a sudden, within not even 24 hours of him getting dropped, we're talking about whether he's a good bloke or not. How is that fair on Hastings? And whether he is or he isn't, it's irrelevant. And it's just been dropped. Where is the accountability for, even if the journo got it from a good source, whoever broke that story, where's the accountability? Where is the article? And if, it's always buried somewhere, of going, I just want to apologise to Jacko, who's basically been plastered across as a shit bloke now.
Mm.
Imagine that. You're getting dropped, and then you watch the news on that night. Oh, I'm a shit bloke now. Like, now my character's being put in question. Where was these questions when we were 10 on a row? They were nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. And whoever your good source was out of Newcastle, you'd think they would have known that New South Wales Cup wasn't training that day, right? Fuck me. What's doing?
Like, I don't care. Like, opinions and that, you can be as scathing as you want. If you want to sit there and you put the boot into the Rabbitohs and say, this isn't good enough, and you talk about purely their form, that's rugby league. But at the same time, releasing stories that are not true, that are clearly going to have a negative impact on Hastings and other players, I cannot believe it. And look, it's one journo. Not every journo is like this at all. Most journos are great. They're really, you can talk to them, they're all good. But every now and then these things happen and there's literally no accountability.
And look, if Jackson was the dickhead that a lot of people want to tell you he is, do you think when all these fake stories are coming out, like a dickhead would have said something right and blown up?
He just cops it.
Jacko went about it quietly, went out and had 6 try assists. He's played one game in the last cup and he's leading the comp for try assists.
Jesus, who they play against?
The Bears, the Melbourne Storm feeder side.
Jeez Louise.
Nass was playing. Holy. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so So yeah, it's honestly it's kind of similar-ish to the Ilya situation where it's different because they didn't get pumped, obviously. But I didn't see much of a change in the way they played with Cogger there. And if Hastings continues to do this in New South Wales Cup, it's just going to make the headache even harder for O'Brien.
Mm.
Yeah, and then what do you do? Like, do you just gamble the next one to fall? Is it? Like, this is where I don't understand how coaches can spend an off season going, this is my guy, he's my halfback, he's the leader of this side. Then after 2 weeks, change, and then are you going to change again? You lock yourself
into what, 3 weeks minimum of this new bearing?
Sure, at absolute minimum. Yeah, it's halves.
Yeah, I know. It's
bizarre. Like,
that came out of nowhere, that Hastings won.
Like,
you know, I'd get it if they got to round 3 or 4 and it happened around then, because you're like, you know what, 2 preseason games, 4 rounds of footy, 3 or 4 rounds of footy, but like 2 rounds? Hectic.
After, like, you know, and I'm sitting here listening to everyone go, oh, you know, Jack Cogger in the grand final, how long Nathan Cleary? KP just won at Dally M. He played 10 games of fucking football because Jacko unlocked him the entire season.
Yeah.
Like, shortest memories of all time.
Yeah, and like, we're the first ones to say Cogger, literally, without him, they probably don't win that grand final. We're literally the first ones to say that. But it's one game. Like,
yeah.
People acting like this bloke led Penrith to the grand final. It's like, it's one game. To just expect, and it's almost unfair on Cogger, because it's like, just to expect this guy to rock up to Newcastle and be the, you know, save the team, or even though they don't need saving. But yeah, tough gig. Adam O'Brien's probably sitting there going, you'd almost want him not to go down and kill it, because then you can go, you know what, that eases the pressure of the decision.
Well, and the other tough thing is that you've got Jaden Brayley, who was your, you know, club captain before he got injured. He's got to be in the side somewhere. He's probably going to remain at 14.
Massive shout out to him. I was so happy to see him run on the field. Far out. That bloke, great bloke, been to the ringer. Hopefully he can add a lot to the fullback. But yeah, the positive is this. They got the job done. Another positive is Dan Gagai.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's just like, just when you think, okay, maybe he's at the end of his career, he's getting a bit older, he's just a goer. Like, genuine. You got obviously that try, which is incredible individual effort and strength. 16 runs, 136 metres, 35 post contact, 7 tackle breaks, a line break, 23 tackles. Like, okay, yes, yeah, sometimes he can make defensive reads or bounce off tackles or whatever, but what you miss in that, this side without Gagai in it, good luck.
He had some good defensive plays as well in the first half. Yep. Took a couple of blokes out. Yeah, Benjamin Button, Dan Gagai.
Oh, yeah.
He still got it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else stood out for you? I thought Tyson Gamble ripped and teared, to be fair. Who else stood out for you guys in the nice side?
I thought that. Have we got any word on Leo Thompson? Is he going to get suspended or anything for that?
Yeah, 1 to 2 weeks.
I thought Pappy jumped early there.
I reckon that's tough. He never took his eyes off the football.
Pappy jumped early. Suspend Pappy. Jumped early, just like Harris Tavita. Isn't it funny? Harris Tavita, they get told he jumped early. The exact same things happens in a different game in the same round, and the bloke gets suspended.
Yeah. That'll be, if Leo Thompson misses 1 to 2 weeks, that might almost force their hand to move Tyson Brazil into the middle.
Yeah, maybe, which is a real blow for Leo Thompson, because, you know, he needs time to build into his year, and that kind of will ruin the momentum. But a win's a win. They got it done. That's all that matters. Now they can build some confidence on that.
The other one that I thought was good, Tuala. 190 metres. He obviously scored that try. What about that pass from KP to dummy half?
George Regan. Yeah.
So sexy. I haven't minded Tuala. I saw some nice fans that are quite negative on him. I think he's a good, solid winger.
Oh, yeah. And maybe it's just who prefers what, but I was a bit surprised to see him line up on the left edge, which you assume is owned by Greg Marshew. He played right wing in round one. Tommy Jenkins played right wing the other day. So, yeah, I would have assumed that Tuala would have kept his right spot.
Well, maybe Jenkins has jumped him in the pecking order and they're putting him there, so you're going to be there.
Tough if so. He was front of the pecking order 10 days ago.
Yeah. Okay, now into the Storm. Ironically, not ironically, but like, a lot of people are going to look towards, you know, look at all these players out. That game was there to win for the Storm. That game was absolutely there to win. They had a 69% completion rate. Look, yeah, did they look super clunky and, you know, nowhere near as smooth as they usually do? For sure, for sure. But, geez, they made some crucial errors at crucial times. I think Bellamy will really be disappointed because they're the kind of games that if you can get the win, just bolsters morale. They go into the season then with three wins. They're the ones that you look back at the end of the season, if you just missed the top four, you look back on games like this and go, far out. Like, yes, our backs were against the wall. Yes, we're missing key players. But that was absolutely there for the Storm to win.
Remus Smith only played 20 minutes. He was the only player without a missed tackle in the entire team, and they only had two players that only missed one. So just about everyone else, multiple missed tackles for the Melbourne Storm that played more than 20 minutes in that game. So for as poor as they were, if they would have snuck away with a W out of that, you're right, they are the ones that really stack up at the back end of the season.
What about this? It says a bit of a bludger. 41 tackles missed by both teams each. So 82 tackles missed in the game.
Jeez.
It's definitely the one that got away. I think Bellamy would be really disappointed. Like, again, if you go up there and you go up against a red hot night side, you go, you know what, all good. We battled hard and we lost. But when it's like you could snatch it, a game that you're not supposed to win, you go up there and snatch it. They're even sweeter, those ones, you know.
Feel like they're going to snatch it for a minute there. Yeah. When Wishy went over at the end, I thought, here we go. They're going to do the same thing they did the week before against the Warriors, but wasn't to be in this game. But they are missing so many players everywhere. I know what you mean. Like, would have been great to grind one out, but geez, hard to replace your two starting halves. Hell of a lot of forwards missing as well. A bit of a stinky game.
For sure. Like, key players are missing. Yeah. Like, there's no denying that. But it's like, if it's there to be won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it wasn't there to be won.
Good morale booster.
Yeah. If it wasn't there to be won, you'd just be like, look.
Yeah.
Injuries, okay, it all happens, whatever. But, almost a bit to degree with the Bronco situation. After the first 20 minutes, it wasn't really there to be won. So I don't think Kevy's walking away going, damn, we should have won that. He's probably walking away going, okay, showed a bit of fight at the end. Whereas this one, it's like, it's right there. You're within striking distance and you just didn't give yourself the best opportunity.
And the last bloke that's going to lean on while we had injuries is Craig Bellamy. See him in the box. He was furious.
Because I can understand, because these were like really basic errors they were making that's very un-Storm-like. And with a completion rate of 69%, I'm sure Bellamy would have gone into that game going, okay, we're missing key players, so what do we need to do? Control the controllables, and that's our completion rate.
Yeah.
In regards to players, I will say Will Warbrick, he needs to erase these games out of his repertoire or his resume. He'll have, you know, a few really good games and then he'll just have like multiple errors. I know towards the end he had some really strong runs, but he had, I think, two drop balls, at least one that I recall correctly.
Well, there was one that he dropped that was a try into the sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like stuff like that, you know, you just can't afford to have one of those every 3 or 4 weeks if you're going to be a Storm winger for sure.
Yeah. I completely agree. And that was a big because, mate, Ryan Papenhuyzen couldn't have done any more to try and win this.
And even if he had got tackled as he caught it, it's the next play they could have scored on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I thought Pappy, in a game that they're obviously missing stars and whatnot, he tried everything in his bag of tricks, didn't he, Pappy? Geez, I felt sorry for him. There was a play there where he went down the short side on the left and he came back around the ruck. He threw it back and both the halves were standing there and they both just went, yours.
Yep.
Just hit Wishart in the chest and went four. You just see Pappy going.
And Wishart was the fuck? Wishart was the long one. Was it Wishart or was it Pappy or was it Grant that did that?
No, it was Pappy.
It was Pappy.
Definitely Pappy.
Wishart just went like,
you could see the ball in the air and you could just see Pappy going, what the fuck is going? Someone put their hands in the air.
I think Trent Lioro's had a good start to the year, but unfortunately on the weekend, he got through a mountain of work, 21 on 276. But I do think that he might have put a bit too much pressure on himself to like deliver, to step up.
Yeah.
Just had a few like passes that just went astray, an error here or there.
Key penalties.
Yeah, it just wasn't his night. He worked his bum off. He tried his heart out. And when you look at his stats, you go, oh, bloody good game. But actually watching the game, he might have he put a little bit too much pressure on himself to be the guy that, you know, steps up and helps him. And maybe Bellamy asked him to do that. So it might be one of those things where like a little bit less is more for Trent Lioro there in the 13 jersey sometimes.
What'd you make of Sean Bloor? Obviously, Chan ruled out of this one. He's got a hand infection. They got a bye coming this week. So it'll be interesting to see the week after that whether they go with Chan or Bloor. What'd you make of Bloor?
He was okay. I was like,
To be fair, we said the exact same thing of Chan in his first game as well. He was okay without killing it. Then he came out the second game and really lit it up.
Yeah. I think a guy like Blore, it'll take time for him to kind of find his feet in this Storm side. Yeah, it wasn't bad by any stretch, but, you know, didn't set the world alight.
Chen comes back in?
I think so. Yeah. I think he'd done enough. I actually think he was pretty good in the first game, like had some good moments. And obviously the second game, really big moments. In regards to the... So even... is Christian Welsh injured?
I think he had a HIA from memory.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Wishart, he had 11 runs for 153 metres as a halfback.
He's a player, Wishart. He's so fucking unorthodox in everything he does, but he can play. I don't think halfback's his spot, but I'm not really convinced what his spot is, but he's just a handy player to have in a squad.
Yeah, he is. I was going to say, Pezzett, I was a little bit disappointed with Pezzett. I really think he's made a lot of development. And look, to be fair, it's a very different role, basically becoming the dominant half to being outside Hughes. But just some of his kicking, when they needed points, he was kicking very conservatively, just up and over into a corner, which I get. You're trying to build pressure to a degree. I thought he would be a little bit better. Look, it's a very different proposition to being outside Hughes and then being having to be the main playmaker. But he was a little bit... quiet this game.
I've said it a few times. I think off the back of that performance for the New South Wales 19s, he did get a little bit overhyped for where he's at in his career. There's no doubt he's talented, but he's got a lot more to work on in his game for sure,
has
it?
He has been building nicely, but he's not ready to be the main playmaker.
And you would have walked around away from that New South Wales 19s game going, oh my God, he's the next guy. It wasn't really the reality of it.
So I think your first two rounds he's been great. But this game where the responsibility of like getting a team around the park, probably not there just yet.
Which is hard.
Which is, and it's also, it's fine.
It's fucking hard.
It's hard. And he's a rookie. Like him learning his trade underneath a guy like Hughes, like it's good. It'll take time. 100%. He'll get there. Yeah. He'll get there. But outside of that, you know.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Very disappointing that the game was there to be won, but when you look at the grand scheme of the season, nothing.
Yeah, no, I'd be putting that one in the swag and moving forward.
It'll just be like, if they do get tight around that 4-6 mark, it will be a game you can look back and go, oh, far out. It was right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. I'm sure, though, knowing the Melbourne Storm, they'll probably win another 6 games like that.
Like that, yeah. Very true. And it, to be fair, like, we're so used to Storm, like, pre-2020 winning these games that we almost, like, get disappointed when they don't, when it's like... Come on,
so
it is what it is. Anyway.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.